Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much. Tonight's teaching is something inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit gets involved, it's all she wrote. I want you in your mind's eye to go back in time to 68 AD. Jesus was crucified 68 years. 68 years have gone by. Nero was surrounded by political enemies, and he decided to take the easy way out. He killed himself. In the next year, three different emperors took Nero's place, and all three of them could not get the job done. It was a very turbulent time in the Roman Empire. So in AD 69, troops proclaimed Vespasian as emperor. They just made this guy emperor of Rome, and they made sure that he stayed in power. Vespasian hated Jews, and he especially hated Christians. And he made it very, very difficult for Christians and Jews. Prior to becoming emperor, his goal had been to trample Judea and erase it from existence. He was a modern-day Hitler. He sent his eldest son, Titus, to finish the job. Titus put Jerusalem under siege for 3 months. He then tightened the noose. Troops leveled buildings in Jerusalem to the ground. The temple became a crumble of stones. Jerusalem fell. Jews and Christians became Roman captives and slaves. Women were being raped. Everything that had anything to do with God and Jesus was completely wiped away. Aftershocks vibrated through the Roman Empire, and people were being persecuted brutally. Anybody that refused to worship Roman gods was being crucified. It was horrible. Crushed, devastated. People were suffering. And suffering back in the day had many forms: physical abuse, disease, social abuse, persecution. Pain and anguish of being a Christian and a Jew back in the day prompted people to surrender, to just give in, to commit suicide. It was a horrible, horrible time. Many of these Christians back in the day were being persecuted for believing in and obeying Jesus, beginning in Jerusalem at the hands of their Jewish brothers. The persecution spread to the rest of the world. Wherever Christians gathered. And it climaxed when Titus began to rid the world of the Christ-like ones. It was at this time that Paul was martyred under Nero. And Peter was martyred as well. Peter decided to get crucified upside down. He didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus was. So they crucified him upside down. Before all of this happened, Peter, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, sensed the darkness coming. And he wrote his first letter, and it's called 1 Peter. And he wrote it in AD 64. And it was written from the city of Rome, which Peter called Babylon. This is not a bleak letter. This is a letter, even though it was written under the most horrible of circumstances. It's a letter of hope and counsel and love and forgiveness. It tells us to live holy, to nurture spiritual growth, to love one another, to work together as a team. This is the very beginning of the church. This letter was sent to all the Christians and all the churches, and it still lives on today. Whenever you're going through hard times, whenever you're going through brutal trials, whenever you're going through really difficult stuff, you can always go to 1 Peter. Yes, you can go to James, and there's all these scriptures for people going through trials, but 1 Peter lays it out. He lays it out. Many of these first century followers of Christ were suffering and being abused. Peter knew persecution. Peter had been beaten. He had been jailed and he had been threatened. He had seen other Christians die and he'd seen the church completely scattered. But most of all, Peter knew Jesus Christ, and nothing could shake his confidence in his risen Lord. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, no matter what's going on around you, you're protected. Your soul is completely protected. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will pull you through everything. Peter begins to explain to people that trials will refine your faith, not that you're going to have them. He guarantees you're going to have them. Peter was accused of stuff he didn't even do. When you become a Christian and you believe in Jesus, you begin to radiate light. It's impossible not to. You begin to shine, and that light begins to shine into dark places. And when you begin to shine into dark places, Satan wants to put your light out. The enemy doesn't want your light to shine. So people will always come up against you. They'll accuse you of stealing. They'll accuse you of doing stuff you never even done. They'll conspire against you with other people to gossip to people in power to try to get you bumped off. They'll set you up to stumble and to fail. They'll take positions from you. They'll lie about you to other people. When you're a Christian, you will always have stuff come up against you. You'll pull out in traffic and be in front of the old lady. You'll go into the line at QFC, you'll get right behind the food stamp woman. People will lie about you. They'll say horrible things about you. They'll lie about your company. Peter knew what he was talking about. But Peter said to keep your eyes on Jesus and believe in God's plan of salvation. Even the prophets of old didn't understand about this. But Peter wrote about it. And Peter commanded us to live holy lives, to reverently fear and trust God, to be honest and loving, and to become like Christ. Jesus Christ, the living cornerstone upon whom the church is to be built, is also the stone that was rejected, causing those who are disobedient to stumble and fall. Peter then goes on to explain how believers should live during difficult times. Christians should be above reproach. This is what I'm working on. My wife is on me all the time. You can't say that. You can't do that. What are you doing? We have to be above reproach. Because when you're a Christian, you begin to shine the light. And when you begin to shine the light, everybody's looking for something. Everybody wants to dig at you. So you have to be above reproach. If you're out gambling and playing cards, I can't believe, did you know he gambles? Oh, I see him all the time gambling at the casino. If you have a problem with drinking, they'll bring that up. Above reproach means living Christ-like. Be thankful for the privilege. James tells us this. Matthew tells us this. Peter tells us this. Be thankful that we are suffering. Every time something bad happens, my wife gets all jittery, all weirded out, because she rolls on it like a pearl. She just like goes over in her mind all the possibilities of things that can happen, especially if it's something against our character. And now I tell her, don't worry, be happy. I'm glad this bad thing's happening to us, because now we get to prove to Jesus that we're going to put all of our faith in God. We're not going to put our faith into man. Rent's due in 3 days and you don't have any money? I'm going to put my faith in the Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to worry about that junk. Somebody said something about you? I'm not going to try to get even. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust in God to pull me out of the situation. When you suffer for doing what is right, remember that following Christ is a costly commitment. When you're persecuted for your faith, rejoice that you have been counted worthy to suffer. Following Christ is a costly commitment. When we go through this book tonight, I want you guys to remember that everybody goes through trials. Everybody has stuff come up against them. My cars break down continually. It seems like I go through dry spells without any business. Whatever your weakness is, whatever your concern is, whatever makes you nervous, whatever you're worried about in the night, whatever you pray about alone to God, that is what the enemy will use to come up against you with. The enemy likes to attack this young man right here because he knows it gets to the mama. And the mama's worried about it. And when the mama's worried about it, the mama ain't got her eyes on Jesus. The enemy likes to attack our reputation. He does that because he knows mama's going to be worried about it and she ain't going to keep her eyes on Jesus. The enemy likes to tempt with gambling or drinking because he knows that if he can keep you gambling and drinking, you're not going to be in church and you'll stay in trouble. Because he knows if you come to church, you're going to get a little bit cleaned up. You're going to start getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to change. You might bring a friend to church. First Peter. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more grace and more praise. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What does that mean? It means that every single time someone calls you on the phone, dude, let's go drinking. And you say, no, you know what? I'm going to go to church tonight. Every single time that you're in the mall somewhere and that girl that's been kind of flirting with you for a couple months comes up and wants to get your phone number and you say no. Every single time that you could have went out with your friends and you decided to come to revival night instead, the saints see that. Jesus sees that. And you score points. The more you serve God here on earth, echoes in heaven for an eternity. Your home is taken care of. Ain't no one going to steal it. Angels guard your mansion in heaven when you serve Christ on earth. That's what I'm trying to teach my family right now. I don't care what happens here on earth. I worry about eternity. When heaven will come down on earth, and we'll be able to walk with the animals. There'll be no more hate, no more fear, no more fighting. Serve Jesus. Keep your eyes on him here. Be born again. Born again means regeneration. It's the act of the Holy Spirit bringing you into God's family. Jesus uses this concept of a new birth when he explained salvation to Nicodemus. Being born again means you have a new life. You cannot be a Christian without a fresh beginning based on the salvation Christ brings. Do you need encouragement? Listen to the words of Peter under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach and change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. What does that mean? Peter mentions this because when Christ returns, the dead will rise and everyone will be judged. Everyone will be judged. Everyone that was martyred for Jesus, everyone that did good back in the day will rise from the dead and be judged. There will be no place to hide. That is why it's so important that we keep our eyes on Jesus, that we stay focused on Jesus. That is why that's so important. So be truly glad, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials that we go through, being accused of something you didn't do, running out of money, not being able to pay your rent, all these crazy things going on. But I'm not going to let that bug me. I'm going to keep teaching the word of God. Amen. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Everyone. See, those aren't trials we're going through, but this is the kind of stuff you endure. Okay, when you start to shine your light. Amen. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Peter mentions trials and suffering several times in his letter. All of us face trials when we let our light shine into the darkness. We have to accept them as part of the refining process. I have come to learn that this is part of the refining process. I am scared to death of the IRS, but I'm being audited right now, and now I could care less because I put my eyes on Jesus. I'm just going to go through the process and have complete faith and put my eyes on Jesus. But Peter says that this is the kind of junk that happens all the time. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You know, Jesus had said to his disciple Thomas, who began to believe when he touched Jesus, "You believe because you have seen me." And then Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Peter remembered that, and he repeats them here. You love him even though you have never seen him. That faith brings both salvation and the promise of a day when pain will end and perfect justice begins. Faith will be rewarded and evil will be punished. But what should we do until then? The Bible's answer is simple, but it's not easy. We have to faithfully serve God now. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what. I have been away from Jesus for 2 weeks. Yes, I prayed for a few minutes in the morning, and yes, I prayed for a few minutes in the evening, but I was away from Bible study for 2 weeks. I was away from the ministry for 2 weeks. I was away from church for 2 weeks. And let me tell you, when you're out there in the world all alone, it's dangerous. I felt myself slipping back. I felt myself not wanting to spend time with him. I felt myself thinking about stuff I could be doing that I never have a chance to do because nobody is here with me. Nobody's watching me. It was very, very hard. Always keep in fellowship. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about the little stuff. I know it's easy to say that. But don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about the gossip. Don't worry about bills and just stuff you have no control over. The many nights I spent lying in bed, clutching that pillow, worrying about stuff, what a fool I was. If I would have just kept my eyes on Jesus and had the joy, joy, joy in my heart, everything would have been fine. Another thing I need to repent of is not thanking God enough. These little things you're worried about, you're going through right now. What about 5 years ago? Remember that big thing? Everyone in this room I have prayed with privately about a big thing. And the big thing's gone now, ain't it? God pulled us through, didn't he? So why are we concerned about him now? Have faith. You know, it's hard, I know, to have faith. I know it's not easy. I feel so guilty for so many things I've done wrong. You would think I would have faith. When Jamel told me she was pregnant, I was worried because I needed to buy a house. I didn't have no money. Not only that, my credit was shot. Not only did I not have money, but my credit was bad. I was like double bad. And she's running around looking for houses in Bellevue and Kirkland. And I'm thinking, girl, we'll be lucky to get a house in Tacoma. I have the heart to tell her. You would think that I would have had faith when God pulled it off, found a couple that was selling their home on a land contract. They were going to finance us with a little bit of money down. Still, I didn't have faith. When we went and had the ultrasound and there were two holes in my son's brain, we were told he would be mentally retarded, and the whole church prayed for us and he came out fine. Still, I didn't have faith. Every time I was in a financial bind and he pulled me out of it, still I didn't have faith. Faith of something unseen is very, very hard. But we need to spend time with God every single morning, every single evening. Try to have faith. Try to believe. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires, Peter says. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge your reward according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. It always bugged me. What does that mean, foreigners in the land? Why are we foreigners? This is earth. We were born here. No. Our souls are experiencing a fleshly experience on this earth. We're not supposed to be here. We're just foreigners here. We should not assume that our privileged status as God's children gives us the freedom to do whatever we want. Believe me, there's a little bit of grace there on a credit card, but it will get declined. You will have to walk the walk. I ran my grace credit card out a long time ago. I still got some more. I don't know how much. I don't want to have to use it. It's an emergency. Amen? We should not be spoiled children, but grateful children who love to show respect for our Heavenly Father. Foreigners in the land. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You could buy a slave's freedom. God ransomed us from the tyranny of sin, not with money, but with the precious blood of his own Son, nailed to the cross. We're just foreigners here, man. We're just visiting here. How we act while we're in this flesh dictates our eternal lives. We're just stuck in the flesh, man. You know, I'll be driving down the road through Seattle, and for no apparent reason, I'll have the window rolled down, and I'll turn over to my left, and I'll see some guy in the distance with a broom in his hand sweeping a parking lot. And as I drive by, he'll be like, "What's up, man?" And I'll be like, "What's up?" Because our souls recognize one another. I've never seen these guys before. But you drive by and you just know people. You recognize them. They're just foreigners here. They're fellow travelers. Stuck in flesh they don't want to be in. I think that most of the reasons why these people get addicted to crack cocaine is because they just want to go home. It makes them feel like they don't have flesh anymore. They don't hurt no more. It makes them feel like they want to go home. Everybody is experiencing this flesh thing in a different way. Every soul is doing the flesh thing. My friend Brendan likes to fling his flesh out of an airplane and fall to earth like he's going to die. But at the last minute, he pulls a cord and this thing comes out and he floats down to earth. And he likes it. He thinks it's fun. I have other friends that like to dance with their flesh. They like to dance, you know, in bars and stuff. I know friends that like to put alcohol on their flesh until they can't even stumble around anymore because they think it's fun. My wife likes to run her flesh around all Bellevue and jog and stuff and make her flesh look really good. I like to eat everything in sight and make my flesh look really bad. But my point is, everybody is doing this flesh thing. But we're just foreigners here. This is temporary. When we die, our souls are released. What we do here on earth echoes for an eternity in the chambers of heaven. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about all of this little stuff. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other. As brothers and sisters, love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. We've been born again. We have a relationship with Jesus now. We need to serve Him. We need to bring as many people as we possibly can while we're here on earth to get to know Jesus, to be set free from the bondage. And when Jesus returns, we'll be raised and we'll live in heaven. Me and Solo will be able to go to Hawaii and have some loco moco on the beach in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I'll be able to go with my wife to some distant village in Africa and just watch a sunset. Me and Ray can go to Calcutta and have some, what's that food on the street, that potato thing?
Dosa.
Oh, we can have some dosa. And we can go to Saigon and have that some pho gah. You know, some good pho.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Peter was quoting Isaiah. Peter reminds us that everything in this life, possessions, accomplishments, people, all the things you ever did, every football you caught and got those little chops in the end zone and scored that touchdown, none of that's going to matter. All of that will fade away and disappear. Only God's will, His word, and His work are permanent. Quit grasping for temporary, and let's begin focusing our time, money, and energy on the permanent things, which is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for tonight, Father God. Thank you for a warm fire. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for people that are interested in your word, Father God.